You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Perfect race. Dalila Muhammad and Sydney McLaughlin have the best head-to-head in sports. They alternate wins and world records in the 400-meter hurdles. And with it all on the line in Tokyo, they went all out. Freeze it here. Look where it is at the last hurdle. McLaughlin finishes with the world record. Let's go! The Los Angeles Lakers had like 50 cents to work with this offseason, and they signed everybody. Ariza, Ellington, Bazemore, Monk, Nunn, Dwight Howard, Carmelo Anthony. And they're so old. You're supposed to say, how old are they, Tony? They're so old, if you make an Adam and Eve joke, they say, too soon, too soon.
Oh, he's here all week.
Emily Kaplan, can this possibly work with the Lakers?
Yeah, come on. We're all getting Karl Malone and Gary Payton vibes, right? 2004, a bunch of vets ring-chasing in Los Angeles. And the 2004 Lakers team was very good. They made it all the way to the NBA Finals. But then they got obliterated by a Detroit Pistons team that was a lot better. And that's kind of what I'm seeing with these Lakers team, too. They were smart to add a bunch of shooting around a big three of Russ, AD, and LeBron. But I think they lack some of the talent and the defense to go up against a team like Brooklyn. I also think Carmelo's looking at this team as a 37-year-old and is like, I got to start telling people I'm 36 and shave a year off because all the cool kids on this team are 36.
Kevin Blackstone, this is an older team. Let's just say it like that. Can this possibly work?
Of course it can work. If there's one thing that the NBA does not serve, it is youth. You just saw it again in the NBA Finals. It was experienced players with the Milwaukee Bucks who put away a younger led team by the Suns. You look at 32 years old. That was the average age of one of Michael Jordan's teams in one. I think that's the oldest NBA team ever. In fact, if you just look at the 2000s, I think only one of the Warriors teams, which was maybe averaging around 25, 26 years of age, is actually pulled this out. So you want to be experienced. You need you need the grizzled veterans in order to get by. Look at who the Suns added. Just a couple years ago, the Suns were the youngest roster in basketball. And who did they add to try and get over the top? Jay Crowder was one of them, and Chris Paul was the other. They went for the experience. So you need that in
the NBA. Nina Kimes, can this possibly work, what the Lakers are doing?
Well, first I'll say, KB, I'm not sure that'd be my takeaway from the finals with the Bucks, and given especially that CP3 and Jay Crowder struggled at the end and the Bucks didn't have playoff experience. But that said, I came here ready to roast the Lakers for being old, and then I saw June Lee on this panel, and now I feel compelled to defend their institutional knowledge and experience, which is what they're bringing to the table, as well as Emily said, shooting. And that was, of course, a sore need for them with LeBron, AD, and Westbrook, and now in Ellington, Monk, Bazemore, and Carmelo Anthony, they've got guys who are shooting around 40% from three. They did sacrifice a lot in defense. Ariza can defend. Howard helps in the paint. But giving up Caruso, I think, is really huge. He was the best perimeter defender on that team. He signed a really reasonable deal in Chicago. I feel like the Lakers should have strove to keep him. That said, they've got LeBron, AD. They're still going to win the West and then probably lose to Brooklyn.
Drew and Lee, how about you?
The Lakers are so old that they should be called the Minneapolis Lakers. The Lakers are so old that they should be doing a promotion for bingo night and be dressing up the Staples Center like it's a retirement.
Okay.
I mean, it's one of those things where, you know, obviously they have a lot of experience on that roster, but I think one of the biggest steps back here is the fact that they lost that defense, as Mina mentioned. Alex Caruso is such a good defender. KCP is a plus defender. Dennis Schroeder is a plus defender. I think they're taking a major step back here. And while the experience definitely buys a lot in the NBA, this is a really young league right now. A lot of the best star players in the NBA right now are really, really, really young. I think the Lakers are going to have some things to climb over here in the season.
Drew, and I'm going to reward you, even if the jokes didn't completely land. For everyone in this panel, it's the effort that matters for me. Kevin, let me ask it to you this way. We saw what happened just this season. It was a season of attrition. How many teams couldn't finish the season with the roster? And, of course, that could be true next year. But when you're an older team, you're already behind the eight ball, don't you think?
Not necessarily, because I think a lot of the key players that got hurt this past NBA season were not necessarily old players. They were younger players who slowed down their teams. And I would just also point out that the last Lakers title, just a couple years ago, they were like the second oldest team in the league. So they are only doing what they have done for quite some time now.
We'll move on. Next story is baseball. Max Scherzer's Dodgers debut tonight in L.A. versus the Astros. Last night for Houston, Lance McCullers shut out L.A. Dodgers fans more boisterous than Dodgers bats. There was an Oscar the Grouch furry in 90-degree heat a few rows back. There were multiple stoppages as inflatable garbage cans were thrown on the field. Foul balls were thrown back at Altuve. June, it's been 4 years. Too much or just right?
I think it's just right. I mean, we're at a point where last year was supposed to be the year where the Astros were supposed to get roasted by everyone across baseball. Mm-hmm. The pandemic happened. No one was at stadiums last year. This is the first time the Astros are coming to Los Angeles. So the Dodgers fans need to have their opportunity to completely go out there and boo and do everything and wear the Oscar the Grouch costumes. Like, this was perfectly right-toned. But it's going to be interesting to see moving forward. The Astros, I think, are a pretty dangerous team. And they've been a little bit under the radar because everyone has been dumping on them because of the trash.
Got the win last night against Walker Buehler. I saw Will Smith say that maybe Buehler was thrown off by the amount of stoppages. Anything to that, June?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, pitching is such a rhythmic thing, it's such a tempo thing that it does make sense that that could have affected it. But I don't think that's going to be a problem moving forward in the
playoffs. KB, what did you see last night in L.A.?
I saw a mess. I saw an embarrassment. Okay, 4 years is a long time, right? And not only that, didn't you just win the World Series? Mm-hmm. So celebrate that.
Okay.
When it comes to throwing things on the field and throwing things on the field, you just can't do that as a fan. I'm sorry. I know that those look like inflatable trash cans or whatever, but no, you don't throw anything on the field. I thought that was bad behavior on the part of LA Dodgers fans. I think they should be called out for it. I think that anybody that threw something out there like that should be removed from the stadium. I don't think this was a laughing matter. It was just poor sportsmanship on their part.
Kaplan?
Yeah, you know, Dave Roberts said before the game that he thought this game could bring closure to a lot of fans, but are you guys really finding catharsis when a bunch of fights erupt, you look like savages, and you still get shut out by the pitcher that won Game 7 of the World Series? Honestly, with these fans, I mean, like KB said it, you've won a championship. Your payroll is $25 million more than anyone else. The universe is treating you pretty well. I'm also of the belief any time that sports events end up in TMZ, it's not a good look. And reading about this in TMZ this morning, I'm thinking, if MLB handled this appropriately years ago, we wouldn't still be dealing with the fallout now.
Oh. Mina Kimes, you're in Los Angeles. You seem to be taking umbrage with some of the things said. Go ahead.
No, I think Emily made a really important point here, which is the players didn't get punished. That's why the fans are still mad. That's why they're booing. I'm fine with the booing. KB is right. Throwing stuff on the field is dumb. It hurts your own team. But more importantly, the Astros seem to be thriving off of this, like, not to equate them with the dark side of the force, although that seems appropriate, but the hate is making them stronger. Blake Taylor, who's a reliever in Houston, said after the game, "It takes a special player to put on an Astros jersey." Oh my goodness, they are now looking this as adversity. And frankly, this is a good team and it seems to be working.
Joan, you've talked to people around the league. Are the Astros now, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger? Are they stronger for this?
Well, I think KB makes a really good point that obviously throwing things on the field is not appropriate. But if you look at the heart and soul of that team, Alex Bregman is a guy who thrives off of being kind of a heel in baseball. And I think that is the personality of this team right now.
One more story here. You just knew there would be a world record in the 400-meter hurdles last night. Question was, who would set it? Sydney McLaughlin just beating out Dalila Muhammad to get gold. In the 200 meters, the explosion from Noah Lyles, but it came a little too early, and Andre DeGrasse of Canada bolting to the line. And finally, gold in Kenny Benarek. Awesome run for silver. Kevin, you live for this. I know you love the track. How did it deliver for you?
Oh, it was fantastic. This is what the Olympics is all about when it comes to track and field. You're seeing world records and more world records. I mean, you saw two women break the world record for gold and silver. And all of a sudden, let me not talk about the men's 200, but let me just talk about the 400 hurdles, which has all of a sudden become the showcase event. Because just previous to this, you saw two men come in under the world record. So this has been absolutely astounding to watch in track and field. And of course, 200 meters, it was fun. And I'm looking for another world record in the 110 for the men.
Emily Kaplan.
Yeah, you know, swimmer Lily King says that we don't celebrate silvers or bronzes, and I couldn't help but think that watching Dalila Muhammad, because think of all this woman has gone through since breaking the world record, hamstring injuries. She had COVID in February. Then she watches all the intention for another runner who was 10 years younger, and she still runs the best race of her life. That is a woman who should be celebrated as an Olympic icon.
She certainly is, and that rivalry, again, the head-to-head, is the best matchup in all of sports between McLaughlin and Muhammad. Mina Kimes, how did it land for you?
Yeah, I think McLaughlin said iron sharpens iron, right? They are pushing each other to be better. It's so cool to watch. And it was really cool personally to watch Sydney McLaughlin, because covering the Olympics in 2016 in Rio, I remember there, she was the story. She was the 17-year-old prodigy. She was supposed to come out and win, and then she didn't even make it to the finals. So now to see her at the ripe old age of 21 fulfill that promise, it's just a really amazing story. It's what the Olympics are all about.
June Lee.
Yeah, last night almost felt like Sydney McLaughlin introducing herself to an American stage and crowning herself as one of the biggest Olympic stars in this country right now. It was truly one of the most exciting Olympic events, I think, of the last couple of years, watching her slowly come and take over that first place. It was truly a thrill.
It's tough. It's tough to start ranking, because we've said this now maybe three. This is the greatest event of the Olympics. The high jumpers tied and they shared a goal. And then yesterday, Warholm's record. This is the greatest event of the Olympics. And now this. And just imagine McLaughlin and Muhammad gonna relay together. Like, good luck. Even if you're in a car, you got no shot against them. Have to say this about Andre DeGrasse. You know him now as a very well-deserved and earned gold medal. And it's so great, because he was, if you remember, the competitor who was racing against Usain Bolt. What can you do against Usain Bolt? And Bolt peered back, looked at him, gave him a little smile last time we saw him. So it's great for you to get gold. Perfect race, perfect finish. How about a perfect match and perfect emotion? The number one wrestler in the world. She's American. And she's proving why she's gold. Tamira Mensah Stock.
I felt that I could be an Olympic champ, so I kept going. I did it. I love representing the U.S. I freaking love living there. I love it, and I'm so happy I get to represent USA!
5 years ago, she missed weight, missed Rio, but still went to cheer her teammates. That's the Olympic American spirit of Tamira Mensah Stock. Now gold.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guarantee Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back to Around the Horn, coming to you from the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17.
quarterbacks in training camp. They're always talked about like they're the next coming of Steve Young. Everybody has the greatest camp ever if you're a rookie. But that brings us to San Francisco. Dieter Kurtenbach of the SJ Mercury News is calling for Trey Lance to be Niners starter. He says he gives him the best chance to win. The reviews about Lance are off the charts. John Lynch went on Adam Schefter's podcast, said Lance has been tremendous. But then he also said he's bringing out the best of Jimmy Garoppolo. Both are good. So, Mina Kimes, what's really happening with San Francisco? And could you see Trey Lance starting week one?
I could, because by all independent accounts, not San Francisco 49ers personnel, he is dominating. And frankly, after the draft and all the smoke screens San Francisco put up around the pick, I don't trust them to tell the truth. I'll listen to the people who are watching them play.
Emily Kaplan?
If I'm Jimmy G, I have trust issues with this organization. Last year, they might want to trade me. Now, John Lynch is also saying, I'm showing up as the best quarterback I've ever been. It sounds like they're trying to drive up his trade value because he might start right away, but they want to go to Trey Lance eventually.
Kevin Blackstone, what do you believe from San Francisco when it comes to quarterbacks?
I think that Trey Lance is going to be the quarterback in week one. Look, they traded three first-rounders to move up in order to get him through in Fisherman's Wharf in somebody's heart that they found left behind in San Francisco.
A little bit of a cheesy line there, Kevin Blackstone, but I liked it. Go ahead, Jun Lee.
I think Jimmy Garoppolo is probably going to start the season as the quarterback, but I think it's inevitable at this point that Trey Lance is going to be the guy that who's going to be ending the season as the starter there. He's the guy that they've invested so much in, and I think they're just trying to make sure that he has a soft landing to start off his rookie year in terms of building his confidence as a starter in the NFL.
More quarterback news. Phillip Rivers is telling the LA Times, you know, he's retired, but he's not ruling out a comeback. Which has us thinking about Indianapolis, Emily Kaplan. Carson Wentz out 5 to 12 weeks after surgery on his foot. Should the Colts call Rivers, last year's starting quarterback, up? Or could they call Nick Foles, Frank Reich's former quarterback? Or would moves like that undermine the commitment they just made to Wentz?
First, Steve Harvey predicted this exact situation 6 months ago at NFL Honors. Is he a great NFL insider? No, it's just the most predictable thing ever. That said, if he wants to come back, that's fine. Just don't do it with the Colts. You don't want to get in the middle of that Foles-Wentz drama. Plus, with Quentin Nelson getting hurt, do you really want to go to the Chargers 2.0 where no one can stay healthy?
Wait, your primary source there is Steve Harvey, though. What was the full joke? Give me the full joke so I can experience it right now in real time.
It was just that.
Too many Phil kids at home, so
back.
He can't?
Got a lot of kids, okay. Yada.
Kevin Blackstone, how about you?
Well, look, all I know about this is that there's this weird story out there that no one wants to bring in Nick Foles because he and Carson Wentz don't get along that well, and it might rub him the wrong way. Who cares if it rubs Carson Wentz the wrong way? He's out 5 to 12 weeks. You want to win football games, get yourself a quarterback.
Jun Lee.
Yeah, it really shouldn't matter whether or not Carson Wentz is angry and it falls. It's not like Carson Wentz is an institution in Indianapolis. This also reminds me of Roger Clemens at the end of his baseball career when he was just kind of waiting out all the playoff races to see who he was going to join. I feel like that Phillip Rivers could easily wait things out to see when.
Oh, so you're hearing Rivers here that he still wants to play. Mina Kimes, could Rivers come
Absolutely.
Back here? Would Indy be the best place?
Well, if he was to come back, I think he would have to come back now when they actually need him. And just from a football perspective, looking at the quarterbacks, Wentz, Foles, Jacob Eason, Phillip Rivers is better than all of them. He was better last season. Colts need him, and I think he should consider it.
One more thing from training camp. Every year this time, there are fights, right? What happened at Giants camp was not caught on camera. Joe Judge was very upset that Daniel Jones, the quarterback, was on the bottom of the dog pile. In Lions camp, Dan Campbell telling reporters he would like to see his team get as close to a fight and a brawl as they could possibly get without having one. Then there was a fight, and he said he was fired up by it. Kevin, how do you like your training camp brawls? With your quarterback in the dog pile or as close as you can get to one without actually having one?
We just had a discussion about a team looking to get a guy who's retired to come and replace the quarterback they just brought in because he's already hurt. The last place you want a quarterback in a fight is on the bottom of a dog pile. That's why they wear a red jersey. It means don't touch me.
June.
I mean, usually when teams are getting into fights in training camps, it's a sign of a lack of discipline. And so I feel like this is just a harbinger and hopefully a warning to these guys that this is not something that should be happening over the course of the season.
Mina Kimes?
I mean, this is just standard training camp stuff. It means football's about to start. But as far as Dan Campbell goes, the man also said today he drinks 2 40-ounce coffees every day with 2 shots of espresso each. He's perpetually fired up. It doesn't matter if there's a brawl or not. That man is never not fired up.
Can you imagine what your breath would smell like? And the headache you would have if you don't have that in the morning? Emily Kaplan, how about you?
All right, June, I'm old enough to remember being at 2015 Panthers training camp when Cam Newton and Josh Norman fought. Guess what happened? Cam won MVP. Norman was first team all pro. And they go 15-1. So coaches don't care as long as nobody gets hurt.
Okay. Showdown is going to be Mina Kimes and Kevin Blackstone. Oh, wait, I'm sorry. It's Emily Kaplan and Kevin Blackstone. You see, Emily? That was a Steve Harvey primary source for you right there. Yes, Kaplan, Stone, Showdown, 2 minutes.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Steph Curry, 4 years, $215 million extension with the Warriors, works out like this. $48 million next season, $51.9 after that, $55.7 the season after that, and $59.6 million a season. Emily, do you think this is something the Warriors had to do, something they wanted to do, and is it sustainable for them to build a team with someone taking up that much of their cap?
You know, Alex Ovechkin just signed a 5-year deal with the Capitals, and they pretty much would have given him whatever he wanted because of the on-ice and off-ice impact he's made for that franchise and tickets he's going to sell chasing Gretzky. I think Steph has earned that as well, and he's worth way more than $59 million for that franchise.
Yeah, that's a great comparison, and I think it's the same thing. Look, he put the Warriors back on the map. He's one of the most exciting players we've ever seen. He's worth it. Pay him, give him the money. It's not my money.
Kevin, you said it was a great comparison by Emily, if that's the case. He gets the points.
Well, not that great.
Making the game winner for $1 million in the basketball tournament for your team. The team gets $1 million. Keeper Sykes gets $80,000 for that shot. And then he was signed by the Indiana Pacers after this. KB, what do you think is the better part of the night? Making the shot to get the million for your team or being signed by the NBA team?
You left out a little something there. Doesn't he have to share all that? Doesn't he share that money with the rest of the team?
Yes.
He doesn't have to share a salary in the NBA with anybody except maybe mom, dad, you know, cousin or
Emily?
Two.
The best part about this is he won it for a Syracuse alumni team despite not going to Syracuse, and the top three horrors for that team did not go to Syracuse. Syracuse basketball, ladies and gents.
It's a great comparison, Emily. I believe that was established. Take the FaceTime. 30 seconds.
Prokop just came out as gay, and one day this is not going to be a headline, but right now it is. In the 104-year history of the NHL, no active player has come out as gay. Heck, no retired player has come out as gay. And at 19, this kid is a trailblazer because he decided to live his life authentically and openly with the best way to achieve his dream. Just think about that for a second, because it's a lesson, honestly, for all of us.
Incredible FaceTime from Emily Kaplan. Well said. That's going to do it, folks. Thanks for coming around. 23.5-hour break. See you tomorrow.
The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.